I'm going to be reading out of the book of Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, verse 6 in the book of Proverbs. And you'll see it ties in wonderfully. If I'm in the right place. Yes. Ties in wonderfully with a child dedication service and with what we've been doing right here today. Because that's what we were doing just a few minutes ago. We were dedicating these children to the Lord and ourselves too, which is more of what a child dedication service is about than anything else. Dedicating ourselves and being what these children need in order to see Christ lifted up. Proverbs 22:6 reads like this. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you. We thank you, Lord, for life, for the opportunity that you've given each and every one of us to know you as our Savior. For the fact that you made a way where there was no way, a way that each and every one of us could spend eternity in your presence. Father, we so take that for granted. I don't think our minds and our hearts can really comprehend what it is that you've done for us. And we see so much of the world around us that they don't even understand it at all. And Father, we take that for granted too. I pray, Lord, for urgency. I pray that you would burden us with lost souls. I pray that we would see that time is quickly running out. Lord, you told us to look at the sky, and we could tell when it was about to storm. We could tell that a storm was coming. Certainly, Father, as we look at the world around us, we can tell. A storm is coming. A judgment like there's never been. And Father, time is running out. Every day that you give us is an opportunity to tell someone about you. Lord, let us live your gospel. Let your love shine forth from us. Father, may we be the vessels you've called us to be. May these children see the truth of you within us. And may they turn to that way. That way that they should go. We love you, Lord Jesus. We pray you have your way in this service today. We pray you be lifted up and your glory be revealed unto us. Lord, in the message and the messenger, Lord, just have your way. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. You know, a few years back, a well-known preacher, pastor, stated, or really he warned, that for the first time in our nation's history, we were a generation away from becoming a non-believing nation. I know we all took heed to his warning, and we probably took it for granted, just as I was praying earlier. And I'm not certain that a generation has passed. They say a generation is 25 to 30 years. But I am certain that his warning is coming to pass. Because I see it all around me. If a nation allows the murder of over 55 million babies, if a nation has at least a third of its population that refuses to work, if a nation is attempting to overrule God's definitions of what is right and what is wrong, is there any way that that nation could or should consider itself to be a Christian nation? When our president said publicly that our nation was no longer a Christian nation, what hurt you the worst? Was it the fact that our nation's leader would say such a thing? Or was it the fact that it was true? I think it was kind of a toss-up for me. kind of a toss-up. Something I thought I would never see. Not in my lifetime. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is a very encouraging verse, isn't it? And one as parents that we cling to, isn't it? Because as parents, when they are as God has designed them to be, parents have an inherent desire to see their children grow up into normal, society-enhancing citizens, don't we? Each one of us that are parents, when we are as God has designed us to be, we want our kids to grow up and be normal. We want them to add to society, to be a productive part of society. We want them to know right from wrong and to do right, don't we? This verse of Scripture gives us that hope, doesn't it? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Is that just a hope? Or do we believe it? This is God's word, isn't it? Is God's word just a hope, or is it the truth? We believe God's word, don't we? Before we go any farther, please understand, as a parent, no, as a Christian, the most important question you'll answer today is, do you believe God's word? Is God's word the truth? Is it a truth that you can apply your life to and can apply to your life? And will that truth or won't that truth make a difference in your life? Paul said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I want you to know that also includes the woman of God. It includes all of us. And Paul's not saying the man of God like the pastor or the preacher. He's saying Christians, that Christians will be equipped for every good work. Peter explained it this way. He said, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. For we do not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses to his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. And that is certainly talking about the world that's around us, isn't it? A light that shines in a dark place. We would do well to heed that light. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1, 15-21. Church, this is something that we all need to understand. We all need to know. We all need to believe. And we all need to live accordingly. God's word is just that. It is God's word. We can. We may have to. Many people in our world today are staking their life upon it. They are. We have been blessed. I guess you could call it blessed. to live in this part of the world, because we are as naive as you can be. The world is an evil place. It is a fallen place. The world is a sinful place. Sin rules our world. We have been protected here for the most part. I'm not so sure in our lifetime if that's going to continue. We need to understand that God's Word is God's Word. We can walk by it, we can talk by it, we can live by it, we can die by it. It is the truth. It is God's truth. It is the only truth that exists on this planet. The only pure truth. You want to be the mom or the dad or the grandma or the grandpa, the teacher, the preacher, the pastor? You want to be the Christian that God intends for you to be? These are the instructions. It's really that simple. We don't act like we understand it, do we? I'm saying we, church. We don't act like we understand that. You want to be what God wants you to be? These are the instructions. God wrote this for us. God will give us the power through His Holy Spirit to live it out in front of the world. Church, that's what the world needs. That's all they need. They just need God's children, God's church, walking, living according to His Word, empowered by His Spirit, loving them the way He loves us. Loving them the way He does. That's all they need. As we talked a lot in the last few weeks and months maybe, Christianity requires work. Christianity requires an effort on our part. Sometimes, most times, that effort is just a simple surrender on our part. Surrendering to what we know, what we think we should do, to what God would have us to do. But it requires it. Truth is, walking as a Christian mom or dad, or walking even as a Christian pastor, is a battle. And I know, and if you'd be honest, you'd agree with me, even though God has given us everything we need in His Word and through His Spirit, and if you don't believe me, then just look and read Ephesians 6. Even though He's given us that, He's given us that armor, 9 times out of 10, the majority of us walk right out into the battle, most times with only half of the armor on, don't we? And then when we get the stuffing knocked out of us, we look, Lord, why is this happening to me? We didn't follow the instructions. We didn't take what He gave us to do the job. If we'd be honest, we could all nod our head to that. So mom or dad or brothers or sisters, brothers and sisters in Christ, please come to this understanding. And please believe, and please let's live accordingly. God's Word is God's Word. It is given to us from God. We can base our lives upon it. It is the truth. It is a light that shines in the darkness. I don't know about you. Well, I do. In truth, it is the only light that we read anymore, isn't it? It's the only truth that we see. I know Brother Kevin alluded to it earlier, and I won't go into detail about it either because something we have to make up our own mind about. But I would encourage you to look in here when you're trying to make up your mind. But I seen stuff on the TV this morning that just made me sick. Made me sick. It was bad to show that video. It was bad to show a man robbing a man and pushing him down. No, it was the truth. That's what was taking place. Anyway, this is the truth. This is a truth that you can base your life upon. This is a truth that we should look at the rest of the world through. This. That song we sang, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. That's the truth. That is right on the horizon. I've said it many times, but when that sky splits, there's not going to be a need for an introduction. Nobody's going to look up and they're going to say, I wonder what that is. The creation is going to know the Creator is here. And a judgment, a righteous, holy judgment, a judgment that our world deserves is going to take place. We, His body, need to be about our Father's business. Because He came that the world might go free. That sin might be forgiven. It's our purpose. It's why we're here. It's what we're called to. Let's look at this scripture again. Not just like it's a hope or something that we can hope for, but certainly it is. And I know as a parent, because I'm a parent too, that I have based hope upon this scripture. But let's not just look at it like it's hope. Let's look at it for what it is. Let's look at it as God's word, God's promise to us, the truth, because that's what it is. Look at it as if it's something that, if applied to our lives, something that will work. Because after all, it is God's word, and His promises are always kept. So let's look at it that way. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Praise God. Let's start out by looking at the last part of the verse first. When he is old, he will not depart from it. I'm going to explain or expound upon it, I guess, from my perspective. And I know how we are. We all have different perspectives, don't we? We see it on the news every day. We do have different perspectives. But my perspective is mine, and it's what I see, and I understand the clearest. You know what I believe may be the most important ministry of this church? Most important ministry that we have. You might not be happy with it. You might be disappointed when I tell you, because you might not be involved in it. It's the one that's taking place right now. Back in the gym. It's the one that's taking place right now, even up here in this nursery. There's ministry. You think they're just taking care of kids. They're just babysitting. There's ministry taking place, even up here in this nursery. I only say that may be the most important because hopefully the ministry that's taking place right here and in the adult Bible classes, hopefully that also carries over to the ministry that takes place in our home. Ministry needs to take place in our homes. We need to walk this faith. We need to live this faith. This faith shouldn't be something that just takes place in church on Sunday morning. It should take place tomorrow morning when we go to work. It should take place tomorrow night when we come home. It should take place in our homes too. And hopefully, this one is taking place this morning help solidify or strengthen that one that takes place in our homes, because that one's important too. Why would you say that, Pastor Bob? Well, thanks for asking, because that leads me to what I want to say next. Do you remember Jesus' parable about the wise and the foolish men who both built houses? You remember that? It's in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Jesus said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And I think we all know who that rock is. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, does not see his word as the truth, something that you can base your life upon, live according to, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Every house, every building, every life, if you will, needs a firm, solid foundation to stand, doesn't it? Just this last week, I was explaining to two of my grandsons, the two oldest, how blessed they were because they had accepted Christ as their Savior, and they were involved in a church. Remember my perspective? I never attended church as a young adult, and honestly, I have sin scars to prove that. It's an important part of our life, isn't it, as we're coming into adulthood. How for granted do we take it that these kids that God has entrusted us with are in that important part of their life? Where it could change their whole future. Simple decisions that seem like nothing could change their whole future. I made a bunch of those decisions. I was trying to explain to them this morning. I'm speaking from experience. Been there and done that. Don't do it. Don't do it. It will stay with you for a long, long time. I thank God, and believe me, I pray fervently for my grandkids and for those kids. I pray that they'll stay in church. I pray that they don't have to witness the devastation that sin can cause in their lives. But I also think and praise God that when I was a child, in the basement of a place much like this place, it was a lot like this place, had a different name over the door, same guy was running it though. He used some very wonderful ladies. They were saints. He used them to lay down just enough of a foundation. Just enough. That when the storms of life came, I knew where the rock was. I thank God for that. I wasn't in church when I got saved, but I went to church when I was a little bitty guy. And these wonderful ladies told me about a Savior who loved me. They also gave me Kool-Aid and cookies, which was cool. But they told me about a Savior who loved me so much that he died in my place. And he wanted me to be with him forever. And I got to a place in my adulthood where I needed a Savior. And I remembered what they told me. Some of the most important ministries taking place in this church this morning is up there in that nursery and back there in that gym. Only God knows for certain, and I'm okay with that because he's God. But it is my prayer, it's my hope, it's the motivation behind everything we do with these kids, that they too one day will know that there's a rock. And they'll know they can stand on that rock. And that they can be saved. And I'll say this and then I'll move on. We could use your help. We really could. We could use your help teaching these kids that Jesus loves them. Showing these kids that Jesus loves them. Let's look again at Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's just look at that first part this time. Train up a child in the way he should go. So who's this scripture talking to? Better yet, who's running the train? Gary explained to me that you don't drive a train. You don't ride a train. You run a train. Who's running the train? Who is this scripture talking to? Is it talking to the Sunday school teachers? Is it talking to parents? Is it talking to kids? Is it talking to Christians? Who's excluded from training up children in the way they should go? If we know Christ is our Savior, every one of us that know Christ as our Savior have been bought at a price, haven't we? We have. God's Son gave Himself for me. Is this life mine? Should I consider it mine? I do. I'm just being honest. Sometimes I do. But I shouldn't, because it no longer belongs to me. I was bought at a price. Train up a child in the way he should go is talking to me. I'll go back to something I said earlier. Parents, when they are as God designed them to be, they have an inherent desire to see their children grow into adult citizens who have something to give back to society, don't we? As parents, that's what we want. Just get them grown with all their parts on there. You know? They might have some bumps, some bruises, some things might look different, but get them grown. Get them a job or get them an education. Get them into society so they can be a productive part of it. And most importantly, bring them to Christ. Right? We all want that. But here's the thing. Not all parents are as God has designed them to be. They aren't. In fact, many parents here in our community are not as God has designed them to be. You probably heard the stories. You probably witnessed them yourself. I witness them on a weekly, if not daily, basis. And they break your heart to see what some of these kids have witnessed. Just little bitty guys. Little bitty guys. I don't know what the reason is. Maybe their parents weren't as God designed them to be either. So this is the question. So who's running the train? Who's going to train up a child in the way he should go if not me? If not you? Who's going to do it if not us? Those of us that know Christ as our Savior. If we know Christ as our Savior, we have a desire within us to tell others about Christ, don't we? Let me put it this way and make it a little clearer. If you and I don't have a desire to tell others about Jesus Christ, the truth is we may not know Him ourselves. Because as I understand the Word of God, the only reason Jesus came was because God so loved the world. Didn't say the good people of the world. Didn't say the pretty people of the world, the handsome people of the world, the clean people of the world, the nice people of the world. Says the world. God so loved the world that He sent His Son. If you and I know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we should have inherently within us a desire to tell the people, other people, about Jesus Christ. If you don't have that desire within you, then you probably don't know Jesus Christ. You for certain don't understand what His gospel is telling us. It's telling us that time is running out and people are slipping off into hell every day. It's telling us that little kids are being destroyed every day. Day here in our community. In our community. That's what the Apostle Paul said too. He said, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died." It's no longer our life. "He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Christ Jesus. And He has given us, and this is an important part, He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. You and I. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. And if he hadn't, every one of us would have spent eternity in hell. There's not one of us that can get into heaven on our own merit. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 21. There's one thing for certain. The enemy's train never quits. Never. Never quits running. Never even seems to slow down. Seems to be gaining momentum, doesn't it? He's not failing to train people in the way he wants them to go. He never misses an opportunity to do that. He never misses an opportunity to train up and or lead our children astray into the direction he would have them to go. And we know where that direction will take them, don't we? There's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is death. That's eternal death, forever separated from God. There are some young adults out there in the world right now who used to come here. I can't tell you. I can't tell you how that breaks my heart. They used to come here. And they're out there right now developing some of the same sin scars that you and I have. They are out there as proof of his tenacity. Proof of the fact that he never misses a beat. Never quits. He's never going to. That's our enemy who's walking about like a roaring lion. That's why we need to stand on this rock and we need to pray for the truth of this scripture to be applied to our lives, to their lives. We might even need to pray for the storms to come, if necessary, so that the strength and the worth of the foundation, the rock, might be revealed to them again. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Ever try to tell someone how to get somewhere when you weren't really sure how to get there yourself? I've had people try to give me directions and I knew they didn't know what they were talking about. It's impossible to do. I think Jesus had something to say about that in reference to the Pharisees, didn't he? He said, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. Matthew 15:14. As I was preparing this week, I read something very disturbing. It was a comment in a book. It was taken from another book, actually. The book it was taken from was Seven Seasons of the Man in the Mirror by Patrick Morley. The book I was reading was about worship in church. But he took this comment from Patrick Morley. Patrick Morley says, statistically, it appears America has undergone a religious revival. My first thought was, I don't know where he's looking. But as he goes on, I understand what he's saying. He said, on further reflection, however, we learn there is more to it. As the children of the baby boomers grow up, their moms and dads want them to have religious and moral instruction. So the baby boomers are rejoining the church they abandoned when they went off to college. In days gone by, a person had to confess faith in Christ before joining the church. Not so today. Praise God, we still have to do that here. Because of the low to no prerequisites for joining the body of Christ, many churches are top-heavy with people who don't know God personally. On top of that, because of the low view of God in many churches, there is an overabundance of cultural Christians, some of whom we might call mature infants in Christ. Some who don't even know Him at all. They know about God, but they don't know God. Is it possible that church no longer has the influence it once had over the world because its members no longer allow Jesus Christ to influence or have control over their own individual lives? Could there be any other reason? Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. God's arm is not short. God is God. We've talked about that a lot in the last few months. But He is, and He always will be. My brother Kevin said, it doesn't matter what's going on around us. That might influence and affect us, but it doesn't change who God is. He is the great I Am. He's the only one. Lord of lords, King of kings. There's no other explanation for why we're not reaching the world other than we're not allowing Christ to be Lord of our life. Many churches today don't have any power because Jesus isn't there. Because if Jesus is here, that's all we need. All we need is Jesus. We don't need anything else. It doesn't matter how dark it gets, how loud the wind roars. When Jesus shows up, that's all that matters. Everyone in this world is looking for Jesus. The majority of this world doesn't know it. They don't know who they're looking for. They're looking for life to make sense. They're looking for that hole that every one of us has in us that only Jesus fills. Jesus is the answer to every one of this world's problems. Whether it's in Iraq or whether it's in Ferguson, it's still Jesus. But where does it start? It starts with me. It starts with you. Jesus has to be Lord of my life if you're going to see Jesus. He's not always Lord of our lives, is He? That's why it's not working. Because all they need, all we need, is Jesus. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Scripture could be talking directly to us, couldn't it? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Jesus said to him, John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. He is absolutely what we need. He is absolutely all that we need. He has to be running the train if that child is not going to depart from it when they're old. There's only one way to train up a child. We have God's promise. If we make Jesus our way, our children will follow him. So the question remains, who's running our train? Somebody's running it, aren't they, Gary? They won't run by themselves. Somebody's running it. Somebody's training up our children. It's going to be a way they're going to go. They're either going to see Christ in us, or they're going to see Satan in the world. The world is natural. It applies to us naturally. We're prone to sin. Every one of us are prone to sin. We come by it naturally. You don't have to teach little guys to say no. You don't have to teach them to say mine. They know that. Inherently within them, they know it. But we do have to lead people to Christ. The best way to lead people to Christ is to make him our Lord. We have to know him ourselves if we're going to share him. I can tell you all about him, but it's just words. I can let his love come through me, and you'll see the truth. The world is being taught. Absolutely are. Who's our Lord? There's only one that's worthy. That's the truth. That's what his word says. We're going to have a song of invitation. And then, if we have anybody that's interested, we're going to have the dedication, child dedication.